A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
in time
concentrate on
space.
Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to episode 7 of British Invaders. This is the podcast where we talk all about British science fiction television, and today we will be talking about Quatermass. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Xander from England.
Quatermass was a 1950s British science fiction series, and it was all about Professor Bernard Quatermass, who was a rocket scientist and was working on rockets to send people away from Earth to do various tests and things, and the discovery of alien influences and various threats that came from the different things that they were doing in different stories.
Bernard Quatermass was a professor, and in the stories he's the head of an organization called the British Experimental Rocket Group. Nigel Neill took the name of Bernard, apparently, from Bernard Lovell, who was a famous astronomer at the time. And he basically took Quatermass from the phone book, is the way he always tells a story. Although, I think if you look in the London phone book now, there isn't the Quatermass, so there you go. As Brian has said, Bernard was the head of this group, and they were basically researching atomic rocketry, and the ERG was a British group. And it was sort of controlled by the government, although it seemed to be quasi-independent as well. And, as Brian has said, they encountered various things almost by accident throughout the stories.
The character of Quatermass was first introduced in the Quatermass Experiment in 1953. It was a 6-episode serial that starred Reginald Tate as Professor Bernard Quatermass, and it dealt with themes of nuclear bomb paranoia, general paranoia that something was going to come and wipe everything out. The story dealt with the Quatermass rocket that had been launched with 3 astronauts in it. Remember, this was in 1953, so this was well before there were astronauts and space probes and these types of things. So these 3 men were in the rocket, and something went wrong. The rocket went well beyond where it was supposed to go, much larger orbit, and eventually came back to Earth, but it didn't work properly. They were away for too long, and ultimately crashed on the Earth. When they recover the rocket, they find that one of the astronauts is still there, and 2 of the astronauts are missing, mysteriously. And from there on, they go to discover what is happening. What happened to the extra 2 astronauts? What is wrong with the original astronaut? He seems to be not quite himself. It was an interesting serial, and it was quite good, only now we can't see all of it.
As Brian has said, this was made in 1953, when basically most television was done live and never shown again. It wasn't recorded, and the BBC, who were making this programme, did actually try to record the first 2 episodes of the Quatermass Experiment, and the quality was very poor, as can be seen as they are available on DVD. And there seems to be a bit of debate about why exactly the other episodes weren't recorded, but I think, from what I've read recently, is that probably the most likely reason is because the engineering people reviewed the recordings and the quality was not fit for broadcast, so they sort of gave up on the attempt to record the serial.
I think that's right. The idea was they would take those episodes and rebroadcast them later, but they decided that what they have would not be usable for rebroadcast. So they didn't record the episodes 3 through 6. And there was actually talk about them doing an omnibus version of the Quatermass Experiment that would be re-recorded later in the year and would be done to film and be recorded so it could be broadcast multiple times and be in either 1 or 2 parts rather than 6 and be a little shorter, but with the same actors and director and so on. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. That idea was dropped, and we are left only with the first 2 episodes to view at this point. The scripts are also available for the remaining episodes, but there is no other way to look at those original ones other than the first couple of episodes and the scripts.
It should be pointed out that in 1953 there wasn't video recording, at least at the BBC, even for professional use. So the only way you could record a television programme for rebroadcast is by basically pointing a film camera at a monitor. Now, these are special setups to do this, so the camera is synchronised with the display and things like that, so it's not just like pointing a normal movie camera at a TV screen. But that basically is the technology. And as we mentioned, it didn't work out so well for this particular episode, but in fact this technique was used by the BBC for a very long time, quite successfully, to keep recordings for overseas use and repeats of TV programmes. The other thing that might be worth pointing out is that the first episode of the Quatermass Mass Experiment is one of the earlier surviving BBC dramas. I think there's only a couple of other things that are actually older.
That's right.
So that's, it's quite historic, even from that point of view, ignoring the fact it's also a pretty good science fiction serial. In 1955, Quatermass 2 was produced, written by the same scriptwriter, Nigel Neal, and featuring the same main lead character, Professor Bernard Quatermass, but played by a new actor, because Reginald Tate had died, so the new actor was brought in, John Robinson. And again, the background was the continuing work of the British Experimental Rocket Group, but Quatermass stumbles upon a conspiracy involving an alien threat. And this apparently was stimulated by the fact that in this period, in the 50s, that there were lots of military installations being built all over the UK, including those that were basically operated by the United States. And these were very secret and had armed guards around them and electric fences. And I think there was, at least in Nigel Neal's mind, a feeling of something going on and a bit of alien in the sort of terrestrial sense invasion, and he projected this into this alien as in the extraterrestrial sense invasion.
It was handled quite well. They did a good job at dealing with the fear of secrecy and the fear of outsiders. There was something I rather enjoyed in there, that Roger Delgado, who was later known for playing the Master on Doctor Who in the early 1970s, he played a journalist called Hugh Conrad in the fourth episode. And that was a performance that was one that I quite enjoyed and ended with an intense and impassioned speech in a way that I think only Delgado can deliver. And it made for an interesting little thing in there, interesting episode in that case. But on the whole, this serial was done quite well. There are some people who feel that John Robinson did not do a great job as Quatermass, partly for the reason that he was brought in quite at the last minute. Originally, Reginald Tate was going to play Quatermass, and he died shortly before the rehearsals and the filming started for Quatermass 2. So some people felt that John Robinson was a little bit wooden because he was brought into it so late, but on the whole, I think it was pretty well done. It has also been referred to as being a little similar to Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I believe it was before Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but some people have called it the British Invasion of the Body Snatchers. A few years later, at the end of 1958, beginning of 1959, a new Quatermass serial was broadcast. This was Quatermass in the Pit. And like the first two serials, it was a series of six 30 to 35 minute episodes. And like both of those, it was broadcast live. By this point, they were getting better at recording film snippets that would be inserted into the live segment. So in all three of the 1950s Quatermass serials, there were some short portions that were filmed in advance and then slipped into the story as you went along. And they were getting better at doing this. They were getting better at recording to film for later use, still with the technique that Xander described where you were filming the monitor. But at this point, they were quite good at it. So technically, there had been some improvements along the way, for sure. In this case, Quatermass was played by André Morel, who was actually the first person who was considered for Quatermass in 1953. But at that time, he chose not to play Quatermass, but in this case, he did. And this serial dealt with themes of racial unrest and even dealing with things like race riots and purges and so on. Quatermass and the Pit began with Dr. Roney, a new character, discovering an archaeological find where some human-like creatures from 5 million years ago were discovered, far older than anyone had thought existed. And they were intelligent and very human-like, and this was a big discovery. And then during the process of this, there's a second discovery where they discover a large metal object buried even deeper than the ancient humans were. So Dr. Roney brought Professor Quatermass into the picture, and he looked into this metal object, and it was eventually discovered to be of alien origin, and all sorts of new things were brought in from there.
The new feature of this story was, although it again is involving things of alien origin, that it has a very much a feel of a ghost story. In fact, the aliens and the alien artifact that's found have powers which replicate the classic powers of telekinesis. And there are also apparitions created in people's minds when they come in contact with the alien device, which turns out to be a spaceship. And this is hinted at, this is sort of an explanation for previous sightings of hauntings and images that people have seen. Like the classic appearance of the horned devil is explained as actually people's racial memories of the appearance of the featured aliens in this story. So it's sort of rewriting folklore and the ghost story into scientific explanation. So it's a quite clever script. And I think it's probably, most people say, it's the best of the three 1950s serials.
The way that Quatermass and the Pit dealt with ghost stories and the mix of science fiction and scientists dealing with apparitions and ghosts was very radical and new at the time in the late 50s. And it was very well done. It was a well-written and well-performed story. Something else that was interesting that was new in Quatermass and the Pit was the way that the military was involved. Almost every Quatermass serial involved the military and involved journalists in some way, but in this case, the British Rocket Group had basically been taken over by the military. It was too interesting and too useful to the military, which introduced another new character, Colonel Breen, who was put as Quatermass's lieutenant, so to speak. He was Quatermass's second in the British Rocket Group, or the British Experimental Rocket Group. At some point it changed from the Experimental Rocket Group to just the British Rocket Group. But you had Colonel Breen as the second in command, and that was not Quatermass's choice. He did not want military involvement, and it was forced upon him. And he had all these grandiose plans of putting new bases on the moon and all sorts of things like this. And the military wanted to take all of this over and make all of Quatermass's scientific achievements all be used for military purposes. So this was definitely something that was topical in people thinking about science and the Cold War and so on. So it was interesting to see how those things were used.
Famous excavation.
Yes. We're probably standing on priceless fossils at this moment.
Roney, where did you say the skull was found? Where exactly?
Well, in the earth that's been dug away, 2 or 3 feet above this level. That's right, isn't it?
Yes. It was here.
Is that Bob?
Why, what's wrong?
Well, if it was above this thing... Roney! Tell me again, how long did you estimate that skull had been there?
Something like 5 million years.
5 million years.
As we have said, Quatermass was definitely a groundbreaking series of stories. The key thing was, it was the first major science fiction drama to be produced by the BBC, and it was definitely written for adults, not just for children, or even you could say that the content probably is a bit too strong for children, certainly at the time, if not now. And it's definitely more towards the literary science fiction. It's definitely not like the monster movies and B-movies, which were probably out at the same time in the 1950s. It was much more serious. And one thing from my watching of it, me having a physicist background, is that I think Nigel Neal tried to get the science right, and the portrayal of the workings of the British Experimental Rocket Group was meant to be close to the available science at the time. For example, the atomic rocketry, which was being portrayed, was something that was being looked into at the time. And in the second story, in Quatermass 2, there's actually a portrayal of a space flight. And within the limitations of a BBC budget and a live production, I thought that was very well done. They did try to simulate the fact that there isn't gravity in space and there's low gravity on asteroids and things like that. So I was quite impressed by the way that was done.
And in fact, the way that they did the launch and retrieval of the spaceship in the Quatermass experiment in the first serial was also done quite well. The coordination of it had a feel that was not that different from what eventually happened with manned rocket launches and things like that.
Yeah. The opening scenes are sort of a mission control, and it's very reminiscent of NASA's mission control from the moon launches of over 10 years later.
That's right. And what was happening in science fiction, television, and films at the time, you did have a lot of these monster movies and B-movies and a lot of things that were geared for children. The things that were there at the time that were geared for adults were usually teleplays that were based on science fiction novels. So they would take The Time Machine or 1984 or something like that and do a production of it more or less as you would a play or a radio production. And Quatermass went much further than that. It was new original stories with this new character, and it was more complex than you would do in a teleplay based on a novel. It was definitely different from that, and it was more visual. It was not like radio with pictures at it, which many of the earlier things were. Something else that was interesting with it was that the solutions to problems and the major changes in these episodes were usually based on intellectual arguments or emotional appeals or, in some cases, new developments and discoveries that they were making scientifically along the way. It had that more intellectual aspect to it than you had in a lot of other things at the time.
One thing, certainly by the time of Quatermass and the Pit, and I think the earlier serials too, that Quatermass was must-see viewing at the time. Apparently the streets were empty at the time that Quatermass 3, Quatermass and the Pit, was being shown, because everybody was rushing home to watch the next episode.
Absolutely. Quatermass and the Pit was also legendary for emptying the pubs. So this was definitely not something that was geared at children, it was geared towards adults. And I believe the last episode of Quatermass and the Pit was their largest viewing figures at the time. I believe it went up to something like 11 million. For the time, it was very, very high.
Yeah.
And apparently even the cinemas, the movie theaters in England at the time, had a very poor night the night that the last episode of Quatermass and the Pit was on.
Right.
So it was definitely big at the time, and it has been a major influence for many other shows that have happened since then.
Hi, we're Mike and Andrew from Futility Radio, and we're here to tell you all about Cadmium 2, our new podcast based around British cult TV, film and radio. Andrew, what sort of shows can they expect us to talk about?
Well, there's Horny Housewives, Backdoor Bangers 2, Squealing Amateurs.
Hang on. I'm talking about our new podcast. What are you talking about?
Our new podcast? These are some of the shows we'll be covering.
Oh, for God's sake. It's about cult television. Cult with an L.
Oh, sorry. I thought we meant cult.
No.
So we don't want these DVDs then?
No. We'll be looking at cult movies, TV shows and radio shows that all originated here in the UK.
That's right. The UK has decades of broadcasting history under its belt and has produced some of the world's most recognised entertainment. And yet there doesn't seem to be many podcasts out there celebrating that fact.
Correct. So we've decided to redress the balance, and Cadmium 2's mission is to big up that history. We'll be covering all manner of shows, from Doctor Who to Danger Mouse, Journey into Space to Nebulous. So, together with Paul, our co-host, we'll be introducing you to an eclectic world of the vastly popular and the wildly misunderstood UK entertainment. So, there you have it. Sip your tea, doff your bowler, and tune in to your wireless for Cadmium 2, Entertainment from the Empire, the very best of British.
So we're not going to need these DVDs then.
Oh, right, pass me the Squealing Amateurs disc.
We've already mentioned that Nigel Neal wrote Quatermass. He, in fact, wrote all of the Quatermass serials. He was born in 1922 and lived till 2006. He wrote for nearly 50 years, in fact, over 50 years. He was from the Isle of Man, and he chose a Q name, Quatermass, from the Q section of the phone book, because Q names apparently are quite common on the Isle of Man, so that was meant to be just a little bit of a reference to his background there. When Nigel Neal wrote the original Quatermass experiment, he was a staff writer for the BBC, and they usually wrote just little things to fill in, and certainly junior staff writers like he was didn't write full dramas like that, but they had a blank time slot with nothing available to fill it for several weeks, and didn't know what to put there, and Nigel Neal suggested this show, so they said, okay, go and write it. And Nigel Neal and Rudolf Karcher, Rudolf Karcher was the director of the 1950s Quatermass serials. The two of them were not pleased with how TV was being done too much like radio, just with simple pictures that didn't add much. And much of Quatermass was their effort to change that.
Nigel Neal also wrote quite a few other dramas for the BBC, and lots of them were science fiction or had science fiction elements in them. One that immediately followed up on the first Quatermass story was an adaptation of George Orwell's 1984, which came out on the BBC in 1954. There was a sort of ghost story that he wrote called The Road in 1963 that actually turned out to have a science fiction element, which riffs on the same ideas that appear in Quatermass and The Pit. And then there was another story in 1968 called The Year of Sex Olympics, which is a sort of commentary on the way the television was going and almost precursors reality TV we have today, like Big Brother and stuff. And the final thing is The Stone Tape, which again has some similarities to Quatermass and The Pit. It's about a scientific explanation of ghosts again, and there basically is a bunch of scientists who are looking at the ability of stone to record historical events, which conjures up something from the past, but is, say, a scientific ghost story, I guess you'd call it.
There were actually a few elements of the Stone Tape that were in common with the Quatermass experiment as well. And Nigel Neal wrote many other television programs and also radio and fiction and so on. He really did quite a lot of work. And it has been said by a number of people that he redefined the ghost story three different times. First in Quatermass and the Pit, then in The Road, and then again in the Stone Tape. He really worked with these science fiction and horror type ideas, and he had some very interesting things to add and had some great stories that he told over time. Perhaps in other episodes we will talk about some of these other programs.
Indeed.
I think that brings us to the end of the first half of our discussion of Quatermass. And we will come back in a couple of weeks with more about some of the other Quatermass programs that were done, both on film and on television and radio, and things that were done beyond the 50s. So for now, this is Brian saying bye.
Until next time, this is me, Xander, saying goodbye too.